Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Shravan. We've got Tarun sitting over in his place.
Hello.
We're back for another episode, and you got a double feature this time.
Me specifically?
Yeah, just
as
you.
A treat?
Yeah, just you.
Yep.
Because you're going to be listening to this, right?
No.
So they're not you as well. Basically, we sat through a double feature yesterday, and we're going to talk about two movies. So two in one. You're getting double.
Double the fun.
Double the fun. That's right. So we watched the Paramount action adventure martial arts film Snake Eyes G.I. Joe Origins. So they couldn't call it Snake Eyes because there's already a movie called Snake Eyes starring our favorite actor, Nicolas Cage, out in 1992. Mm. So they had to tag on the G.I. Joe Origins. And the second movie we watched these in succession, by the way. So this is the work we do for you guys. We went to the cinema and we watched two movies in a row. The second movie we watched was the Disney family action movie, Jungle Cruise. We're going to be talking about both of those today, but we'll start with Snake Eyes. That's the order we watched in. And obviously this actually came out last week, but we couldn't watch it because we were in lockdown. And we just came out of lockdown this week, so we decided to watch this and the movie that was coming out this week, which was Jungle Cruise. Bit of background on Snake Eyes. So it's directed by Robert Schwentke. Do you want to know what he's done in the past?
Yeah, sure. What's he done?
So he's done a movie called Tattoo in 2002. Then he's done a couple of... So he's from Germany, I think. So he's done a couple of German films. In 2005, he did the movie Flight Plan. Then he did 2009's Time Traveler's Wife. And then he did Red in 2010. Red is that action movie with old people, right? Like Bruce Willis and Helen Mirren. And
yeah, it's the old people action movie.
Yeah, so the old people action movie. Then he did RIPD.
Oh, yeah, that's not a good movie. I tried watching that once.
That's Ryan Reynolds and Kurt Russell?
Jeff Bridges,
yeah. Heard it's like a rip-off version of Men in Black, right?
Yeah, well, I only watched like the first half an hour. I couldn't get through much more than that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Men in Black-esque.
In 2015, he did a movie in the Divergent series, Insurgent, and he also did the 2016 sequel, Allegiant.
Yeah, okay. He's done movies.
And in 2017, he did a movie called The Captain.
I've heard of some of them, but I've seen mostly none of them.
Well, no one's told me actively that these are good movies. In fact, I know that RIPD is actually meant to be really bad. So maybe we should have looked at his filmography before we went to this movie. A little bit more about Snake Eyes. So it's starring Henry Golding, who a lot of people know from Crazy Rich Asians, and Andrew Koji, who is known for the show Warrior. Then it's got some secondary characters that play a role. We can talk about how important they are. Like I said, it's distributed by Paramount Pictures, so this is going straight to... No, it's going to Paramount Plus, their streaming service, in 45 days. 45 days after the release, and it released on the 23rd of July. budget is $110 million, which is decent. Like it's a big budget movie. There's action, some big action set pieces in it. And box office wise, it's done about $21 million, which is not good. Even in current times, they probably were expecting a bit higher than that. We can jump into our non-spoiler review. So what's the story? I should mention one thing. So I don't know anything about G.I. Joe. I don't even know what is G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. Yeah. It's a covert military agency.
Okay. Because yeah. I always thought it was a guy. I'm like, is there a guy called G.I. Joe?
No, they're called Joes. It's like a group of people.
And it's an action. It's basically started off as toys, right? Action.
It's
figures.
A toy. Yeah. It's like Transformers.
Yeah, and they're in the... Well, they're Hasbro as well, right? So they're both the same...
Nah. Transformers is Mattel, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Okay. Or were they...
Transformers is Mattel and G.I. Joe is Hasbro.
Are they both in Hasbro now? Or like, do they merge or something? Because Paramount has their Transformers universe as well. So I don't know. Or maybe they just
I don't know. Yeah, maybe they just got both.
And I looked back at when they started making these. So they started in 1964 and they were called America's Movable Fighting Man. And then they've sort of evolved from there. And there's comics as well. So there's G.I. Joe comics and animated shows and other live action movies, which you have watched, Rise of Cobra and Retaliation.
I've seen both of them twice now, probably more than twice, actually, because I watched the first one when it came out in 2009 or something, or 2010.
The one with Channing Tatum.
Yeah, I actually really liked it back then, but then everyone told me it was shit. But anyway, I liked it back then. And then I watched Retaliation, and I liked Retaliation when I saw it when it came out. But everyone told me that was shit as well.
What were your thoughts on your second viewing?
On the second viewing, I like the first one. I still think it's fun. But the second one's trash.
The second one's better than the first one.
Nah, I disagree. The first one's better than the second one. The first one's more fun. The second one's just really generic. So the first one has Channing Tatum as the main character. It's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the villain.
And it's also got Dennis Quaid. Is he in this?
It's got Dennis Quaid in the first one. He's like the commander. But both of them have snake eyes. The first one and the second one both have snake eyes.
But traditionally, the snake eyes character, you don't see his face, right? He's always got that helmet on.
No, in both movies, you don't see the face. But there's comics where you do see his face. He's actually traditionally a white person.
That's right. Yeah, he's traditionally, and he was played by Ray Park.
He was played by Ray Park in the first one and some guy in the second one. I don't know who.
But you never saw Ray Park anyway in those movies.
No. And Snake Eyes doesn't talk. That goes through everything. Snake Eyes doesn't talk.
He can't talk or he just doesn't talk?
In the old movies, he has a vow of silence. In some comics, he gets like his vocal cords cut and stuff. And okay. He can't talk.
So he physically can't talk.
Traditionally, he doesn't talk.
So basically, this is an origin movie for that character.
He's actually the best character in both those movies. Do you want to know more about Snake Eyes?
Well, this movie was meant to tell us more about him. So, but yeah, we could get into it. I was just going to say, is there any movies that have origin, that actively have origin in the title that are actually good? Foreshadowing what I think about this movie.
Begins is another word for origin. So Batman Begins.
I guess so. Yeah. Batman Begins. That's probably the only one. Because there's Wolverine X-Men Origins, which is not good. What's the story for this one? Because the reason I went into the whole G.I. Joe conversation was because I didn't know what was happening in this movie. I can't even sum up the story.
You didn't know what was happening because you didn't know G.I. Joe, or you just didn't know what was happening because you didn't know what was happening?
Well, baseline, I knew what was happening. So it's like a revenge story. Like this kid he sees his father getting killed when he was a child, and then he grows up with revenge. And the story is about him trying to get that revenge. I understand that. But all the stuff in between, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, that's the baseline story, I guess, isn't it? And then it's got other stuff in between. There's lots of G.I. Joe characters in this, but it's like they don't need to be. There's not lots. There's like maybe four or five. But some of them you're like, you don't need to be in this and you're not doing anything for the story, basically. But they introduce some characters and then they go away and they don't show up until like way later. Yep, and then they introduce more characters that have no relevance to the story. But I knew all the characters for some reason because they were in the previous movie, so I know all of them.
I didn't know any of them. There must have been references to the characters because this is where they start out and you're meant to know how they end up. So I think they, maybe if you're a G.I. Joe fan and you know all the characters and where they end up and stuff, maybe you would enjoy this more. I don't know.
Even so, like, Snake Eyes is meant to be like a tactical genius, and like, he's meant to be, well, in the first movie, the old ones, I like it, but I understand they're not the greatest movies. But Snake Eyes is like, he trains with Channing Tatum's character, who I forget what his name is. Yeah, I forget his name. Anyway, he trains with Channing Tatum's character, and they're like, Snake Eyes has never been hit in training before. So it's meant to be like this physical giant and martial arts genius. Do you get that from this movie?
He's meant to be like an amazing fighter, essentially.
He's meant to have like a martial arts genius.
Exceptional skills.
Essentially.
Yep. Definitely didn't get that from this movie.
And the only one that can challenge him is meant to be Storm Shadow. And do you get that in this movie?
Well, I didn't even know the guy was Storm Shadow. I don't even know there was a character called Storm Shadow. So there were all these references to him being this character. And I was like, why do they keep saying this stuff? Like, it doesn't make any sense. What's happening? And then at the end, you find out that he's this character called Storm Shadow. Yeah, I mean, no, we won't go into too many spoilers. But yeah, I basically didn't get any of that.
But Storm Shadow's been training in this movie, Storm Shadow's been training his whole life to be like arts guy.
Yeah.
And then Snake Eyes trains for 2 days.
And he's not even that good.
No, he's not, which is what threw me. I'm like, wait, the Snake Eyes is shit in this movie. Like, he's meant to be like amazing at martial arts. He never learns any martial arts at any point.
Yeah.
I thought Blind Master and
Hard Master.
Hard Master. I thought they were going to teach him more, but they didn't. Yeah.
I mean, side note, those are just the most ridiculous names I've ever heard. One of them's blind, so he's Blind Master. And the other guy's, why is he Hard Master? Because he's hard. He's just,
I guess so.
He's a tough bloke. So
he's a tough bloke, yeah. In the comics, not in the comics, sorry, in the movie and in some of the comics, Hard Master gets killed by Storm Shadow, which is why he gets exiled. But you actually find out it's not Storm Shadow that kills him. It's actually Zartan, who is a character that I thought would show up in this movie. And I mentioned to you at some point, but he never shows up, which is, it's fine. He doesn't show up. He didn't need to be in it, but I thought he would.
So I guess we're on the positives and negatives. So we've kind of been talking mostly negatives, but I've got some positives. I thought Henry Golding was good for what he was in, I guess. I think his character had a bit of charm, but they don't really follow it up that
but
much.
But he's not meant to be talking as well, because he's Snake. I thought he would lose his voice or take a vow. Anyway.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, well,
he's not really Snake Eyes. He's just some guy. If you told me this, if his name wasn't Snake Eyes and it was something else, then I would just be like, yeah, that makes sense. It's not like his character is Snake Eyes.
So his actual name is Snake Eyes. Well, according to this movie, anyway. Like,
yeah.
His actual name.
Yeah. But his actual name is Snake Eyes in the other stuff as well.
Yeah, because they call him Snake. I'm like, is that actually his name? Like, why are you just calling him Snake? But apparently it's his name. I thought Andrew Koji was good.
Andrew Koji was wasted, man. He's better than he is in this movie.
Yeah, like, well, for what he was, all the scenes he was in, it was pretty good. They definitely wasted him because he's...
Yeah, he's so good at martial arts, and they don't really use him for any of his martial arts stuff.
He barely has fight scenes. Like, he has, like, two or three, and they're not even that good, so...
Have you seen The Warrior before? Or Warrior?
No, I've heard it's a good show, though.
He's really good at martial arts. He's meant to be the next, like, Bruce Lee. But you don't see any of that in this. You just see him standing with two swords a lot.
From what I read after the movie, the Snake Eyes character and, what's his name, Shadow Storm, they're meant to have a relationship like Charles and Eric, Charles and Magneto.
Yeah, so Shadow Storm and Snake Eyes train together when they're kids, and then Hard Master gets killed and everyone thinks it's Storm Shadow, so he gets kicked out. But you find out that it was actually Zartan. But they were friends. They were kind of friends when they were kids. But then Snake Eyes hates Storm Shadow because he killed Hard Master. And then Storm Shadow hates Snake Eyes because he thinks he framed him for killing Hard Master.
See, that makes more sense than what actually happened in this movie. One other positive is I thought one action sequence was decent. And it was in the trailers, and they spoiled most of it, but I thought that was all right.
Which one?
It's the one with the motorbikes. I thought that was all right.
The car one.
On the highway with the motorbikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was all right.
It was all right.
Yeah. Negatives, again, on the action. I said one was good. The rest weren't good. The rest were, you couldn't really see what was happening. I think that was the issue.
Like a good martial arts movie generally keeps the camera steady and the less cuts, the better. But this one has
the editing,
way too many cuts.
The editing in general, not just the action scenes, it's just the whole movie. It's just weird.
Yeah. There was too many cuts and it was a lot of shaky cam.
And they could have made it a bit more unique. Like, it just felt like a generic action movie. Like, there was nothing. It wasn't even a martial arts movie. It was just like a normal action movie.
There should have been more martial arts, because that's what Snake Eyes, well, that's what you think of when you think Snake Eyes. It's a bit of martial arts.
And when I was looking down the cast, because I don't know all of them, but Iko Uwais?
Yeah, the raid guy, isn't it?
He's Hardmaster. That guy's he's like amazing, right, at martial arts. And so is Andrew Koji. I'm like, you didn't use any of
these
their skills.
These guys are wasted. Yeah.
He doesn't do anything. He literally doesn't. He has like...
Hardmaster does nothing, yeah.
He has like one
action sequence. That guy's wasted in every movie he's in.
Which other movie was he in?
Isn't he in the Star Wars movie?
Oh, which
one? Is he in Force Awakens?
Is he in Force
Awakens? And he gets eaten by that octopus? Not an octopus. It's that creature in Han Solo's ship.
Oh, yeah. He is in it. I couldn't even tell you which character he was. He was a character called Razo Quinn Fee.
He's got like 2 minutes screen time. He gets eaten pretty much immediately. He's wasted in every movie I've seen him in, other than The Raid.
He was in Stuba.
I've seen that movie, but I can't remember him in it.
Obviously, he was wasted in that.
If you pick these guys that can do good martial arts and you've seen them do good martial arts, surely you just choreograph good martial arts scene and then you film it.
This guy's also a choreographer, so you got him in the movie. Use his skills. Like, use him.
Like, they had everything to make some good stuff, but they just chose not to.
Well, another negative, which I mentioned already, but if you don't know the source material, I think you'll just get completely lost. There was just like these characters.
I think they explain everything to you, though, don't they?
I don't know. They're like, oh, there's this character called Scarlet. I'm like, who's this? and they just have like one scene with her, and then she disappears for the rest of the movie. And there's this other character called Baroness, who they're like, apparently she's a big deal, but I had no idea who she was. And then there's a lot of jumps in the narrative. So you start off with this revenge plot, and then he goes and works for this other guy, and then suddenly he's going and working for this other guy, and then this all happens in like 15 minutes. It's like cut, 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 and then the whole middle part of the movie, not really that much happens.
Not much happens, yeah.
So they might have, I think there was just pacing issues. It just...
Yeah, the middle part of the movie was kind of boring, and then the end part of the movie was very disappointing. I thought at least at the end we'll get some cool martial arts stuff, but they don't bring anything. I thought the start had some potential. I'm like, oh, this could be interesting if they get this right from here.
And there was interesting tonal changes. Like, the movie seems to be pretty grounded, and then suddenly it becomes all fantastical, and like one part of the movie, you're like, is this even the same movie? What's happening?
Yeah, it does become a bit too fantastic. G.I. Joe is fantastical in its kind of elements, but they didn't. The movie was too grounded initially to kind of make that make sense, if that makes sense. They needed to put some more seeds in beforehand.
It suddenly just switches, and it feels like it's a different movie. The dialogue was not good. It's not great, really.
There's a lot of references to people's code names in the end.
Which, again, you probably need to know some of this source material to understand. And then, yeah, I just think overall it was pretty forgettable.
Scarlet was wasted. She didn't need to be in this movie. And Samara Weaving's actually a pretty good actress. So, yeah, she was really wasted because she's, like, if you take her out of the movie, there's no difference.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. And even that Baroness character.
The Baroness is only in this so that they could have Cobra, which is the main G.I. Joe villain. So, if you take her out, there's no difference as well.
And if you're a big Snake Eyes fan, like you mentioned, this is nothing like him, so you're probably going to be disappointed.
No, he's not Snake Eyes. I thought there would be more of an evolution, but he's not really Snake Eyes. It feels like a prequel to a prequel to Snake Eyes.
Maybe Snake Eyes is just another guy that ends up, I don't know, this guy ends up training or whatever. But
yeah, do you think Snake Eyes could fight Storm Shadow after this movie and beat him? Because there's no...
No, I don't know. Like, I didn't see much of Storm Shadow either, so I don't know. Apparently, they're both meant to be amazing, but like, I didn't get the sense.
Snake Eyes gets no training in this whole movie. He gets like 3 days worth of training. So I'm like,
and the training he gets, it's not even martial arts. It's like, what is this? Yeah, overall, we only watched it yesterday and I'm already forgetting it. So it's not that great.
I actually really like the Snake Eyes. Snake Eyes character is kind of mysterious and he's probably the best G.I. Joe character, which is why they did him as the origins. But yeah, this is not Snake Eyes.
Yeah, so I'm going to give it a cognitive regression. I don't think it's worth watching unless... If you're a massive G.I. Joe fan, I just don't think you'd like it either because it's just not the same character.
Just not that good.
Just overall forgettable.
I think it's probably better off doing G.I. Joe as a team-up movie. Yeah, because then they kind of... The characters go off each other. And then you could have Snake Eyes not talk and still have him being a character, but you can't have him be the main character in his movie and not talk.
Most of the time he has a helmet on, so if he doesn't talk and you can't see his expressions, it's going to be pretty hard to make a movie on a guy where you get nothing out of him.
But if you have him as a side character, it makes him mysterious and it builds up the movie a bit more.
What are the other origins that they could do? Who are the other characters in G.I. Joe?
I'm still trying to remember. The first G.I. Joe movie is basically an origin for... he's like the main G.I. Joe character, Channing Tatum's character in that movie. It starts with D. It's not Drew.
So Channing Tatum plays Conrad Hauser? Duke?
Duke. That's it. Duke. The first G.I. Joe movie is actually an origin movie for every single character in that movie. Because they basically concentrate on the character, and then they go through flashbacks for each character. So Duke gets initiated to G.I. Joe in the movie. Doesn't have much on Scarlet's origin, but she's just a military person. Most of them are just military people that just get kind of initiated to G.I. Joe. Snake Eyes' origin's pretty much what I said, but he's an ex-military guy as well.
Oh, Brendan Fraser's in that first one.
He's in it for like 2 seconds. In the second one, The Rock is Roadblock.
That's his name.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there's Lady Jane, I think, is the girl in that movie. There's some other bloke that he's terrible in that movie. I don't even remember his name. So it's kind of an origin for them as well. But they're all just military guys. And they're like, oh, these are the best military guys. And they get recruited into this agency.
That's their origin. So technically, this is the third origin movie that they've done in G.I. Joe.
Duke has a relationship with the Baroness.
So who's the main Cobra guy? Like, who's the main villain? Is that...
Cobra Commander.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah.
All right. We can jump to spoilers. I'm assuming you're giving this a regression.
I thought it was going to be a recalibration for kind of most of it, but then the end was just no good. I didn't like the end at all.
There is, we can go to spoilers, but we can talk about the mid-credit scene. Okay, so if you haven't seen Snake Eyes G.I. Joe Origins and you care about spoilers, go watch the movie, come back to this point in the episode. I'll put the timestamps in the description and you can listen to our spoilers. Or if you don't even care about G.I. Joe, you can skip to our Jungle Cruise review, which is afterwards.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Not much in terms of spoilers. I was just going to... There's that mid-credit scene where he calls himself
Storm Shadow.
Storm Shadow. I keep calling
him. Did you already forget his name?
Yeah, that's right. It's that forgettable. I keep calling him Shadow Storm, but yeah, he says his name and he's with the Baroness. So he joins Cobra?
Yeah, so he's originally in Cobra, but he kind of, he defects to, well, he never becomes a Joe, but he kind of, depending on some plot lines, he sometimes comes and works with the Joes, but he's like a anti-villain.
Snake Eyes is like, I'm going to go find, what's his name? His actual name?
Tommy.
Yeah, I'm going to go find Tommy. So what I didn't get at the end was, the whole point of this movie is there's this gem or whatever. What is that? Some fire gem or something that the clan has, Tommy's clan has, and they have some rules where they're meant to protect it, but they're not meant to use it. And then there's this villain. So you start off seeing Snake Eyes. He's doing some fight. He's fighting with some guy, and then he gets recruited by this guy, this other guy. Forgot his name, but he recruits him, and then he ends up working. So this is the part of the movie where it's just like lots of things happening, and every single scene is like a new thing happening. So he ends up working for this guy, and then he works in some fish port illegally smuggling weapons to Japan or something. And then that's where you meet Tommy as well. So Tommy's like an undercover guy in this organization, and then you find out that Tommy and this guy that Snake Eyes was working for cousins, and there's some family. Basically, this guy was cast out from the family, right? Because he wanted to use the Firestone or...
Yeah. No, he tried to kill Tommy.
He tried to kill Tommy. Okay. And then Snake Eyes saves Tommy in just an action sequence, but you find out later that this was all set up anyway. So he was still working for the guy the whole time. And this was just to gain the trust of Tommy. And then Tommy takes him to Japan. And you get a little montage of Japan tourism as well. He's like, where are we going? And you get a one-minute montage of Tokyo. And then he takes him to this place. And he's meant to get training and he's meant to join their clan. And he has to pass these three challenges. And I thought these three challenges would be like some, you know, he'd have to train in martial arts and he'd have to like pass, you have to fight the masters or something. But they were just these stupid challenges.
Yeah, that was stupid. Yeah. They were very bad.
So one of them is like he has to get water, a bottle of water from the other guy in exchange for his bowl of water, and all he had to do was just ask for it in the end. The second one, I didn't even get why that was a challenge, because he's like, it wasn't really a challenge at all. It was just, he just gets some vision of his past or whatever, right?
Yeah. He just sees his dad die, I guess. Yeah.
And then the third one, you get chucked in a pit of snakes.
Yeah, big snakes.
Yeah, anacondas, I think they say it.
There was a lot of snakes in the movies we watched yesterday.
Yes, yeah. There's more snakes in Jungle Cruise as well. Yeah, it was.
I guess this movie was called Snake Eyes, so they're like, oh, we better put snakes in it.
Better put snakes in it. And the snakes can sense whether you're pure of heart or whatever. So if you're not, they just eat you. But if you are, then they just look at you for a bit and they just go away. So this was the part. So up till this point, it seemed pretty grounded. Like it was like, you know, it's a slightly martial arts action type movie. And then once the giant snakes started coming in, I'm like, what is this? And then the gem that they're guarding, so it can basically like spontaneously combust anyone, like, or combust anything if you put your mind to it. I was like, all right, fine. This is just getting crazy.
Yeah, just got a bit, got very crazy from there.
And then they introduce this character, Scarlet, in between, just out of nowhere. She's like, oh, we should call Scarlet,
yeah.
And then Snake Eyes is like, because Scarlet's like fighting someone while they're on a call with her, and is like, is she going to be okay? And then they're like, she's Scarlet. What are you talking about? Like, what does that even answer? Are we meant to know this character's like amazing? Or
yeah, I thought there would be more Scarlet in this movie because Snake Eyes and Scarlet have a relationship eventually. So I thought there would be some backstory there, but there's no precursor for that. She's in that one action scene, and then she shows up at the end for no reason. I reckon she has about
5 minutes.
Seven lines of dialogue, probably.
Yeah. And not many dialogues as well.
Samara Weaving's good as well. So it's just it's complete waste.
Not great. And then there's this other character who I didn't really understand the relationship she had with Tommy, because when she first gets introduced, he says something really funny. He's like, oh, she's a security guard, but you don't have to take what she says seriously or something. I'm like,
yeah, it's just really random. It's not, he doesn't say it in like jest as well. He says it like really seriously.
Yeah.
And then they linger on her face afterwards. Yeah. And she's like really sad. And like, I'm like, wait, what?
So why do you just hate this person? Is that why you're introducing her like that? But then afterwards, they don't really hate each other. Like they just work together. Like it didn't seem like they hated each other or anything. And then she's, I forgot her name, it was like Akiko or something.
Akiko, yeah.
Is she in the movies, comics?
I don't know her. Nah, she's not in the movies I've seen.
She ends up following Snake Eyes around because she's suspicious that he's up to no good. And she's right because she finds him stealing the gem at the end. All this stuff happens in between. Like he ends up gaining the trust of Tommy, but then he fails the challenges. But then Tommy's like, oh, we're still brothers. And they do this like, blood brothers, you know, how they slit their wrists and they shake hands or whatever, they do that.
Slit their wrists and kill each other. They suicide each
other. I slit their palms, actually, not their wrists, but yeah.
Slit their wrists.
They're not committing suicide. They don't commit suicide together. They, yeah, and they do that, and then the way you get into the safe where they keep this gem is it has to use the blood of the family, and Snake Eyes ends up acquiring the blood because he gets it on his handkerchief from when they do the Blood Brothers Oath. And then he steals the gem and he goes and gives it to the Baroness and the other dude. And then he realizes that he's made a mistake. This particular part, the action sequence was all right, where they chase. There's like the motorbike sequence. And there was just a funny part where Storm Shadow and the other Akiko are chasing Snake Eyes because they're like, oh, we need to get him and kill him or whatever. And Snake Eyes is chasing this other guy. And then in between, I think he takes out a couple of the other guy's men. And then Akiko is like, oh, Snake Eyes, he killed the other guys. So he's actually helping us. And she's like,
but it kind of leads to nowhere because then Storm Shadow tries to kill him anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they end up having a fight sequence and then they come to some sort of truce anyway and they end up going back to the village. And it's all a big circle because they leave the village and then they end up coming back.
Yeah.
And then there's the end fight sequence. And what the funniest part, and this, I don't know if this was even meant to be funny, but basically the guy turns on Baroness and then Baroness, some reason she ends up joining with Scarlet and Scarlet ends up joining with the, oh, we didn't even mention this, but there's a grandma who's amazing at martial arts or something. Like, out of nowhere.
She's amazing at using her fan.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
She's got a paper fan.
Yeah, and she just like taking out all these guys and they end up all joining. And then there's this part where all of them just like walking in a line. Like it's like Scarlet, Baroness, Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow.
Tommy.
The grandma, like, is this meant to be like
Hardmaster, Blindmaster?
Yeah, it's like some team up moment. But yeah, overall the final climax was pretty underwhelming. The guy ends up getting eaten by the snakes and Snake Eyes doesn't.
Yeah, the villain gets eaten by snakes and Snake Eyes doesn't. I stopped caring at this point. I was very much tuned out.
Oh, yeah. And then Tommy tries to use the gem. So the grandma's all.
They kick him out.
All pissed off at him. She's like, oh, you can't lead this family anymore. He loses the plot. He's like, no, I'm leaving and he has a word with Snake Eyes. He's like, I'm going to kill you next time I see you. And then the grandma's like, you're still a part of the family, though. Like, why are you going? Where are you going?
It's like, you can't lead, but I still want you here. Yeah.
Like, she changed her mind really quickly. Like, 2 minutes ago, she wanted him out.
Do you know the thing about this movie? Like, throughout the whole part of the movie, I'm like, Snake Eyes is a dog bloke. And Tommy's actually actually the nice guy.
He seems like a decent guy. Yeah, yeah. And he actually didn't do anything wrong. Like
he didn't do anything wrong in this whole movie.
Yeah.
And then he's the one that gets the villain tag at the end.
Yeah. And for some reason, Snake Eyes, who betrayed them, essentially gave the stone to the other guy, gets to stay.
Yeah. I'm like, Snake Eyes is a dog bloke, man. He's not a nice guy.
Do you reckon if you watch this with a bunch of friends, is there fun to be had or is this just too boring? I think it's just too boring.
Yeah, I think it's probably too boring.
I think the whole
middle part I definitely checked out, yeah.
The whole middle part, there's just not enough there. Either they just had to go full on campy, which they didn't, or they had to commit to it being like grounded, and they didn't do that either.
It was stuck in that awkward middle stage where it did commit to anything. And
so where does this land in terms of the other G.I. Joe movies? Sounds like you didn't like this one as much as the other two.
Yeah, well, the first one's definitely my favorite. And then this is probably just as bad as the second one. I wouldn't say it's worse. I would say it's just as bad. It's just generic. Like, both of them fall under the same scenario. They're just generic action movies that don't do anything special.
Well, bit of trivia. And talking about the previous two G.I. Joe films and Andrew Koji, this is his opinion on the previous two G.I. Joe films. I thought about playing that character. He's talking about Storm Shadow because I didn't like the first two films. I can say that I'm allowed to not like a film. So I was hesitant at first not to accept. It was a big studio film and my first role in a big studio film. So I was very hesitant because I didn't have trust in Hollywood to do that. What Warrior taught me is, and the voice that it gave me helped my work on Storm Shadow. I don't want to play a character with a six pack. I wanted him to be human and flawed. He's going through stuff. For me, when I saw the first two G.I. Joe films, I was like, I don't want to do that. That's not my kind of thing. Well, he obviously didn't like the first two. I'm not sure if they did any justice to his character in this one, though.
I still like Andrew Koji, but yeah, unfortunately, he backed the wrong horse here.
Yeah, well, he's obviously suited to the character, and they probably casted right, but I just don't think the script was up to scratch.
His Asian accent's actually quite good.
So he's actually British?
He's either American or Canadian. I don't know which one. If he's born in England, his American accent's quite good as well then, because he does an American accent on Warrior.
Yeah, he's from Surrey. He's a British actor.
Okay. Yeah. Well, his accents are quite good.
He's meant to be playing a Japanese guy in this, so he had a pretty good Japanese accent. The other thing is, everyone in the room was Japanese, so why are they speaking English? Like the grandma.
Yeah, except for Storm Shadow. Except for Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes, yeah. The other part, which was pretty funny, is it's going back to that Scarlet and Baroness switch. They just openly commit to like joining teams. Like everyone can hear them. They're just like speaking across the room. They're like, let's come to a truce. And I'm like, everyone just heard you do this. And then for some reason, they just let them all move to the same side of the room as well.
Yeah. I hope Andrew Koji gets to do something better than this in the future.
He would have been good in a movie like Shang-Chi or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he would have tried out for the role of Shang-Chi, or he would have been at least asked to try out for the role. Same with Hardmaster. I reckon he would have been asked to try out for the role or tried out for it.
Like we mentioned, Snake Eyes was changed from a Caucasian character in the comics and the animated series to a half-Asian character. We always talk about this, but whenever you look into trivia, there's always completely useless and unrelated trivia. This is one of them. So Samara Weaving is the niece of Hugo Weaving, who voiced Megatron in Michael Bay's first three Transformers live-action movies.
I actually didn't know that.
Okay. Which is,
I didn't know that, yeah.
What, you didn't know that he voiced Megatron, or you didn't know that she's the niece?
No, I didn't know that she was his niece.
Yes, she's the niece of Hugo Weaving. She's from Australia. Well, Hugo Weaving's Australian as well, so she's from Australia. And the point of this piece of trivia was that they're both based on Hasbro properties.
I'm pretty sure Transformers is Mattel.
So, man, it's the trivia's not even right then. Let me check, actually.
Let me check this. It does say Hasbro. Maybe I'm wrong.
Hasbro, yeah.
I guess they are both Hasbro.
But anyway, you learned something today. You learned that Samara Weaving is
Hugo. Yeah, I learned two things.
Nice. And that both Transformers and G.I. Joe are Hasbro properties. And that Hugo Weaving voiced Megatron in the that was like a multi-layered piece of trivia.
I knew the Hugo Weaving, but I'm just checking what Mattel does. So while I do that, you can. Oh no, wait! I've got it here now. They do Masters of the Universe,
which is He-Man and all that.
All those guys.
There was a show actually recently, wasn't there, on Netflix, an animated.
Yes. Yeah. Masters of and they Universe. Do Barbie.
They do Barbie. Surprised there hasn't been a Barbie movie. Well, there is
one coming out with Margot Robbie. They make a movie on everything.
All right.
Jungle Cruise.
Jungle Cruise, okay. Nothing else on Snake Eyes?
Nah, didn't like it. Definitely the worst of the two movies from yesterday.
So I don't know if this movie was actually just better, or did we think it was better because we just watched Snake Eyes? But
okay, yeah. So I have a real soft spot for these type of movies. So I love these type of movies. It's like your Indiana Jones-esque, action. Even like the bad ones, like your journey to the center of the earth, action that adventure. Kind of stuff.
Family action adventure, I would say.
Yes. Romancing the Stone, that kind of stuff.
Even National Treasures in this sort of boat as well.
This is very Indiana Jones-esque, isn't it? Time setting, Nazis.
So before I went into Snake Eyes, actually, there's a guy sitting. It was a completely empty cinema. There was like no one there. There was one guy sitting outside the cinema, and I was just buying some tickets, and he's like, Dwayne Johnson, he's an amazing actor. I'm going to watch the movie again. I'm like, are you talking about Jungle Cruise? I was like, yeah, I just watched it, and I'm going to watch it again.
Look, I would watch this again. I thought it was amazing. Did you like it?
I did like it. Well, we could get into it. So it's basically a bit of background on it. So it's based off a ride.
This is the new Pirates of the Caribbean, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they want it to be.
Don't you reckon? This is Indiana Jones meets Pirates of the Caribbean. It's kind of, it's got very similar things to the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie as well.
I would say it's Indiana Jones setting, Pirates of the Caribbean style, like the way they've made it. And then the characters are the mummy. That's essentially what it is.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
It's a combination of those three, but it works. It works for what they've delivered, I guess. So it's directed by Juan Colet-Serra. You definitely have seen his movies. His first two movies are House of Wax and Goal 2, Living the Dream, both of which I haven't seen. Then he directed a movie called Orphan. I think it's a horror movie back in 2009. But then he went on the Liam Neeson train. He went unknown, nonstop, run all night. And in between, he did The Shallows with
Blake Lively.
And then he did The Commuter again, with which is actually with Liam Neeson on a train.
I think I've only seen Nonstop.
Yeah, I haven't seen Run All Night. I have seen The Commuter.
I hear they're all average, aren't they?
They're fun for what they... If you like Liam Neeson... Like, they're not bad. They're just a good time. If you like Liam Neeson bashing up people, then you'll like
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a bunch of movies with Liam Neeson, and then he's doing this Jungle Cruise. Well, he did Jungle Cruise, and next... He's jumping on the Dwayne The Rock Johnson bandwagon, I guess. So he's doing Black Adam next.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That bodes well for Black Adam, because I think Dwayne Johnson was kind of portrayed well in this movie.
Well, he's pretty much himself. He's
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, yeah. Isn't he? Yeah, he's got his own kind of charisma, and he's good to watch on the screen.
Yeah, he's his own charismatic self. And then adding to that, you got Emily Blunt, who's also... charismatic. She's herself essentially in this movie as well, so both of them were good,
and they both play off well together. Surprisingly, I didn't expect it. I'm like, these two are better together than John Krasinski and Emily Blunt are together. If I was John Krasinski, I'd be worried, man, because The Rock's coming.
Apart from those two, you've got supporting cast as well. Jack Whitehall, who plays the brother of Emily Blunt. And there's Edgar Ramirez, who plays, I guess, a villain character. He's a guy. Yeah. Jesse Plemons, who is also a villain, who I found quite entertaining.
He was over the top, wasn't he? Yeah.
And Paul Giamatti's also in it, because why not?
Everyone kind of chews scenery in this, though. They just go all out. Especially Jesse Plemons' character. He's a caricature.
But it kind of fits in this movie because, like we said, it's like a Pirates of the Caribbean style narrative. So in that, you obviously got Johnny Depp doing his Jack Sparrow over-the-top thing. So it kind of fits in this movie. If anything, they probably could have used him more. They probably could have worked off Jesse Plemons a bit more. A bit about the ride, actually. So Jungle Cruise, I've never been on it, and I've been to...
I haven't been on it either.
I've been to multiple Disneylands, but I've never been on this because when I went to LA, it was way too busy. When I went to Tokyo, it was closed. It's not in Paris. I don't think they have it in Paris. And in Hong Kong, when we went there, I don't think we went on it, did we?
No, we did go on it.
Never been on it. But basically, it's an attraction where you have a captain or a skipper that basically guides you through the jungle and gives you narration, like over-the-top narration.
And I think there's this part, I haven't been on the ride, but there's a part at the start of this movie that I'm pretty sure is just the ride.
Essentially, yes. Well, that's what happens when you're on the ride. And there's a part where they reference like the back of the water. Apparently that's on the ride. That's just a joke that they make on the ride. But it simulates major rivers in Asia, Africa, and South America. And this one, it's obviously the Amazon River in South America. There's animatronic animals and stuff on the ride. So it's, if you've been on, well, it's actually similar to the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. So it'd be that style of ride. So it's not a thrill ride or anything. It's just a cruise. And the ride itself, it's one of the original Disneyland rides. So it opened in 1955. So it's an old ride. And a lot of people don't know that the ride for a lot of younger people, I guess, don't know that the ride for Pirates of the Caribbean was well before the movies.
Which is why this is that, isn't it? They're trying to do Pirates of the Caribbean again.
And interesting, they reopened, so they refurbished the ride over last year in Disneyland and Disney World, and it reopened like 2 weeks ago, but it wasn't to put in characters from this movie. Apparently, there was a lot of racist depictions and stuff on the ride.
Oh, okay.
So they removed all of that stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if they revamped the ride again and have like...
to put the Rock in it.
Yeah, just have him.
Or just have the Rock's voice in the background, or have him be the skipper.
Just recruit skippers that look like the Rock, which is not easy actually. Because he's a massive guy.
Do you realize in every movie he's in now that they mentioned how much of a big man he is?
Yeah.
Like, you are not normal. You're a behemoth of a man.
All right, we could jump into our non-spoiler section. So what is the story of this one?
Okay, so it's very Indiana Jones-esque, I think, where they're looking for this
MacGuffin situation happening.
They're looking for this pedal which can cure any illness in the world. And this is in 19... Is this World War II or World War
One? World War One. I think it was 1911 or something like
16
that.
16 or something. It says it's 2 years into the World War One. They're looking for this tree that has a petal that can cure any illness, which is in the Amazon rainforest. And the Nazis are searching for it, but also Emily Blunt is. And then she like employs the Rock to help her with Jack Whitehall. They're not Nazis, I guess, because this is World War
One. World War One.
They're
just
Germans. Yeah.
Yeah, so it would have been 1916, 1917, I think. World War One went from 1914 to 1918. And it's based on the Amazon River, but they meet in Brazil, essentially. Dwayne The Rock Johnson in this one, he plays a skipper. And basically, when you first meet him...
Frank.
When you first meet him, he's doing a cruise. He just hits you with like 20 dad jokes in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And I...
He just keeps going for them. Yeah.
And I unashamedly enjoyed every single one of them. They were bad, but they were just so bad that they were good.
It's funny because of the other characters' interaction to the dad joke as well.
Yeah.
They're all like, no, stop, please. And he just keeps going.
So Jungle Cruise, do you reckon it sailed or sunk?
Oh, good one. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate this one because at least there was dad jokes in the movie, so you're just adding to the dad joke train. Yeah, no, I thought it was great. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I also liked it. Like many cruises, it had its ups and downs, but I think there were more ups than downs. There were a couple of negatives, which I'll mention, but we've already mentioned that the cast are good. The humor was surprisingly good from all the cast.
I think The Rock and Emily Blunt are just funny people. And Jake Whitehall's obviously funny because he's a stand-up comedian. So, yeah, he's going to be funny. And I don't think I've seen him in a major movie. Have you seen him in a major movie before?
Let me check what he was in.
He's in a lot of episodes of the Graham Norton Show.
As a guest?
As a guest, yeah.
He was in Frozen as the priest, troll priest, uncredited, and unused in the final cut of the film. So technically he wasn't in it.
He's not in that, yeah.
The Bad Education Movie, Mother's Day, Asterix, The Mansion of Gods, Nutcracker and the Four Realms. That's it. He's in another movie coming up called Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Oh, I've seen the trailer for that. That looks dog shit. yeah, so this is like his first big movie, I guess.
No, he was good in it as well.
And everyone's pretty funny, aren't they?
Everyone, yeah, except for maybe the villains. Well, there's two sets of villains. There's Jesse Plemons and there's these other Spanish
dudes. They're not meant to be funny, those guys.
I guess there's not much scope for them to... Well, they didn't need to be funny, but they're also not in it that much. They probably should have been in it more because they're technically like the main villains. There was a couple of twists, which I
did see the first twist coming. Couple twists?
Well, there's one big twist.
I didn't see that coming.
I thought that was good. It adds... It would have been like a generic action movie to something slightly different. Had a bit more to it. Oh, one more thing. I thought the sets and the production values were good. They were lavish. It just looked like a big budget movie. It was all CGI, but there was some nice scenery and stuff in the movie, which looked okay. Negatives-wise, there was some good CGI, but there was also some not-so-great CGI in some parts as well. Especially once you get towards the end, I think it started to lose a bit of steam. Did you see the pun I had there? Like a boat?
Well, it only works if they know it was a steam locomotive. So yeah. You did say that. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought the villains basically all of them are CG. There was a lot of CGI associated with them, and I thought that wasn't that great. It looked a bit like, just looked messy and like cluttered, so I didn't think that was that great. And I don't know if you noticed this, but the background score was fine, but in some scenes it was like, not like Tenet, not like overpowering, but like overwhelming. Like it was like, this is an action movie, and this is like, this is the music in an action movie. And it was like, it just felt a bit too much.
I didn't particularly notice it, but you could be right. I didn't notice it specifically, but
yeah, there's a scene where they're like, Emily Blunt gets captured momentarily, and they're just running through this town or whatever, like this market, and the music's just like blasting. There was like a lot happening in the music anyway. It kind of distracted from the scene a little bit, but it's minor. It's not a big thing.
There's a little bit of ADR in this movie as well, where I think they've added dialogue in post, and they generally do it through like they have like a shot of a scenery, and then they have the character talk in the background.
So you don't see them talking.
Yeah, you don't see them. Yeah. Which, it's not a bad thing, but they did it like 4 or 5 times, I'm pretty sure.
But apart from that, I think there was 2 things. I didn't expect that much from this movie. I just thought it would be whatever. And we also just watched Snake Eyes. So
yeah,
literally just watched it.
Conversely to Snake Eyes, where like nothing happens in the movie for like so long, this movie doesn't stop. It constantly, something's constantly happening. Yeah. It just keeps going.
It's a fun, I think it's just a fun family movie. It's probably even more targeted to families than even Pirates of the Caribbean was. I think it's much more of a go out with the whole family and have a good time type of movie. So obviously I give it a cognitive recalibration. Oh, I didn't mention that it's also out on Disney Plus Premium Access, so you have to pay the extra fee. I guess if you're in lockdown and you can't go out anywhere and you want a family movie, it's not a bad option. It's also the last movie that they've got in terms of the Disney Plus theatrical release, simultaneous release. So all the ones after this, they haven't announced any Disney Plus releases.
Hopefully they don't get sued by The Rock as well. But screw them. They make so much money. They can pay people.
All right. Should we jump into spoilers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, recalibration for both of us. If you haven't seen Jungle Cruise and you care about spoilers, go watch it. Come back to this point and listen to our spoilers. The only big twist was that Dwayne Johnson, or Frank in this movie, is a cursed soldier or whatever.
Well, the villains are like cursed because they killed the tribe leader that owns this arrowhead.
The arrowhead
that unlocks the petals.
Track down. Yeah.
So the tribe leader kind of curses all the people in the party that killed him, and Dwayne Johnson was one of them, essentially.
I think the rules around this curse are that you can't move away too far from the river or else you get pulled back towards it. So he ends up living, he's like 400 years old, so he ends up living near the river. And then you find out that he actually built the whole town as well. If he built the whole town, why doesn't he own all the boats? And why is it?
Yeah, I thought about that. I'm like, if you built the whole town, surely you own the whole town. Yeah. Unless, made some bad investments or something and someone came and bought him out.
It's just not very good. Paul Giamatti is just a better businessman. But yeah, there was that whole backstory, which was probably added to the movie a little bit because it would have just been like a normal action movie. So that added a little bit. And apart from that, there was not much. There was that backstory about how him and, who's the guy? Aguirre or whatever his name is. Were they friends? I think they were, they're friends.
Yeah, they're like basically brothers, yeah. They grew up together.
Aguirre's daughter was really sick, so he wanted to get this Tears of the Moon petal, which apparently
can cure any ailment.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a cure to all diseases, essentially, and it was going to change the medical world forever. So that's why Emily Blunt's character was trying to search for it. Where did they get the arrowhead from? I think I missed that, because it ends up in London somehow, where she gets it. I missed the part where it ended up in London.
Yeah. I think some archaeological expedition got it, and then they shipped it over to London. Yeah,
and she steals it, and there's a big thing in this movie about Emily Blunt wearing pants as well.
I think it's just because it's like there's a whole thing in this movie Everyone thinks women are women are incompetent and can't do anything, and Emily Blunt kind of fights against that.
So she steals it in London, and then they end up traveling to Brazil on the Amazon River to try to track down this petal. We didn't mention it in non-spoilers, but there's also a CGI character, a pet character.
Yeah, a cheetah.
It's a leopard? Is it a leopard?
Leopard,
a
yeah.
Leopard? It's because yeah. Cheetahs are like slim, right? They're like.
Yeah, it looked a bit bulkier than a cheetah. Yeah.
But it's Frank's pet leopard, I guess.
Proxima.
Yeah. So basically, Frank's also like a big con artist as well. He's got like different things on the Jungle Cruise as well. Like he's got this tribe that works for him that come out and like basically scare the guests on the cruise as well. So obviously he's been pretty far on this river because there's one part where they get captured by this tribe, but you find out the tribe's been working for Frank the whole time as well. And that's like pretty far down the river.
Yeah, because he initially searched for it.
That's right.
The whole time. Yeah.
And you find out that he's the one that actually drew all the maps as well.
Yeah, yeah. But he could never find it because he never had the arrowhead, which changes it.
That's right.
It's a fun kind of action adventure.
Good summer movie. Trivia-wise, I don't have too much. We've already mentioned that there's several elements from the park attraction that are featured in the movie. So one is the backside of the water gag. Apparently they do some of the cast members do at the attraction. The film has been described as being similar to The African Queen, which was actually the inspiration for Walt Disney to build the original Jungle Cruise ride. This is an old film with Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn. It came out in like 1951 or something, but it's apparently similar to that.
Fair enough.
And so this is technically, I think it's the fourth ride that they've tried to make a movie out of.
The Tomorrowland?
Tomorrowland, which is not a ride. It's like a section of Disneyland. There's Haunted Mansion.
Okay, yeah. Starring and then these Pirates of the Caribbean and this one.
Pirates of the Caribbean, yeah. Which other rides do you think they could the teacups?
Most of the other rides are kind of based off.
You could do like a Space Mountain.
Space Mountain's changed to Star Wars now.
Oh, has it? Oh, they must be doing that now. But in Tokyo, it was still Space Mountain. But yeah, there must be. It would make sense, I guess, if it's a Star Wars ride. It's essentially.
Yeah, I think they're pivoting.
Yeah, it's essentially like you could definitely repurpose it to be a Star Wars ride. There's also Big Thunder Mountain, which is a roller coaster. There's Splash Mountain as well. So these are the ones not based off any Disney properties. They're just, I think that's all of them. I'm trying to think what other rides I've been on. Because a lot of them are just based off movies. Like there's a Ratatouille ride in Paris. There's a Finding Nemo ride.
I'm sure there's other rides that...
Yeah. Well, you could do. Yeah. They've actually repurposed, what's that one? Tower of Terror. So Tower of Terror was like a Twilight Zone themed ride, but now they've rebranded that to a Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But you could do a Tower of Terror or something like that. And Dwayne Johnson, he likes these jungle movies, doesn't he? How many jungle movies has he
done? Which other ones does he do?
So hasn't he done one which is Welcome to the Jungle or something? And then
yeah, I haven't seen that, but he might have.
Let me look at his film. I'm pretty sure he's done quite... There's obviously Jumanji is Welcome to the Jungle. He's got a massive Wikipedia article because he's done so many different things.
He's an entrepreneur. He's a filmmaker. He's a wrestler.
Okay, so if I search jungle on his filmography... So, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, which is the first Jumanji.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jungle Cruise.
He's done that Mysterious Island movie, which I guess is a jungle movie. You won't get that in there, but
Journey to
the Mysterious Island.
Yeah, the Mysterious Island. I'm pretty sure there was a Welcome... Is that Welcome to the Jungle or something? Welcome to the Jungle, 2013 movie. Okay, he's not in that. It's with John Coltrane. But anyway, he likes these jungle-themed adventures. Apparently he's a, I don't know if this is a spoiler, but it's on his Wikipedia page. He's in Free Guy.
Oh, he is? Okay, must be a cameo.
Must be, yeah. And then he's doing a movie called Red Notice, which is a
Netflix. Oh, yeah, that's with Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot. It's a Netflix movie, direct to Netflix. Yeah.
And then he's in DC League of Super Pets as Crypto the Super
Pets. Yeah, he's a voice. Yeah,
and then Black Adam. And he's not in Fast 10, which he confirmed.
No, he said he's done with the franchise, so...
Anything else on Jungle Cruise? I think we've covered that pretty well.
No, not really. I frankly quite enjoyed it, and I think it would be a movie that's good to watch with some friends or just when you're bored. And it's probably good for a rewatch as well, I reckon.
So it's a kind of recalibration from the both of us. So if you have any thoughts on either Snake Eyes or Jungle Cruise, we'd like to know. So how do people get in touch with us?
Contact us on all platforms at Cognitive Recalibration, or you could always email us at cognitiverecalibration podcast@gmail.com.
So that's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'll put the links below in the description for those as well. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so by giving us a good review on iTunes or your podcast streaming service of choice. That makes us more discoverable on search engines. And whenever someone searches for Jungle Cruise review, we'll come up as one of the first few options. It's another episode down. So next week we've got Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad. I'm hearing good things about it, but let's see. Let's see what happens with that one.
Let's hope for the best. We'll come back with some comic book movie stuff next week.
That's right. We're back to our comic book movies. We had a bit of a run there where we were doing mostly comic book stuff. Like we had Black Widow.
I feel like people don't care about our DC stuff as much as our Marvel stuff, though.
We haven't done as many DC movies, have we? Or DC properties.
To be honest, we probably know more about DC characters than we do Marvel characters to a certain extent.
Yeah, because we grew up more with DC than with Marvel. Yeah. But I don't know anything about Suicide Squad, so especially the characters in this movie, they seem pretty obscure.
Yeah, I know some stuff about some of them, but some of them, no idea.
So we'll see how that goes. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. We did not recommend Snake Eyes, but we do recommend Jungle Cruise. So if you have a choice between those two, our recommendation is Jungle Cruise, but you can make your own decision.
Definitely Jungle Cruise.
Anyway, hope you're all staying safe, and we'll see you next week for the Suicide Squad.
See you the next week.
Bye.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.